Well, if you love Jesus, you can be seated. If you don't love him, stand up so I know who you are. It sure makes my job easier. Problem is, no one ever tells the truth. No. I remember several years ago, I was going through a tough time, and it was getting on, my mood was reflecting it. And, my son was 2 years old at the time. And he came in the room, looked at me with this weird look, and he got an angry face on his, angry look on his face. And he started stomping his foot and screaming, "God good, God good, God good, God good." And the more he said it, the more the atmosphere changed. Come on now. And when the atmosphere changed, my mood changed. Sometimes we just have to remember God good. Come on now. I mean, it always works when you remember the goodness of God. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're having so much fun tonight. Joey called me up earlier today. He's all excited because he said, "Daddy, in 3 months, I'm launching a product that it's never been done before." And he said, "There are multi-million dollar companies who have not been able to produce this." And he said, "It works." So he said, "I'm really looking forward to taking over this sector." So, that was pretty cool. He's a dreamer. He's always dreaming. And one of the words I have, God gave me while I was just sitting here is God's going to raise up many paymasters through this church. Witty inventions. Witty inventions. Don't give up on that. It's not a pipe dream, but it is a pipe dream. It's a pipe from heaven to earth. Come on now. Hallelujah. God's going to begin to open up revelation knowledge that is going to literally, one thought can make you rich. One thought can. Let's go to Psalm 126. I don't know. I said, "God, I don't even know if I preached this last time here." He said, "Don't make a difference. Preach it again." He said, "They won't remember from week to week what you preach anyway." My brother preached on the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. "Could you not, 1 hour? Could you not tarry 1 hour?" He preached that for 2 years straight. And every time he'd get up and to preach it, he said, "How many of you are praying 1 hour a day?" And he said, at first, there was hardly anyone. After a while, it got to about 80%. He said, he kept looking. He said, "Not good enough." So he opened up, preached the same message the next week. I think some people started praying just so he could change messages. But Psalm 126, we're entering into a... Well, let's go to 2 Peter 3. I should have... That verse 18, and then we'll go to Psalm 126. So if you got your finger in both of them, that's good. If you don't, that's all right. Just listen to me. You're not going to... catch up with me once I get going anyway. But, it talks about, I asked God for a word for this year. It's always funny when you ask God for a word because he gave me one word. Next year, I'm going to ask him for two. I said, "Lord, what's your word for this year?" And he said, "Growth." And it's a good word. But, one of the things that we're going to have to grow in is we're going to have to grow in the grace of God. It says in verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What I found out is God wants you to grow not only in the grace of God that is corporate, he wants you to grow in the grace of God that's yours, in your grace, in your gifting. A lot of people teach on grace. People get a little nervous when people teach on grace nowadays because there's all sorts of ideas. Let me clarify something. Mercy is what you need when you sin. Grace is what you need to keep from sinning. Come on now. But when you come to the throne, you need to receive both. You receive grace and mercy at your time of need. And if we're going to reign in this life, the degree you spend throne time is the degree that God can give you training and reigning. He wants you to go face to face with Him. You know, most churches are about God. They're not meetings with Him. But this is a place where the manifest presence of God is. And that presence is what changes you. As you see Him, you're changed. You know, God told me that this season will be a season of dreams and fulfillment of dreams. We're coming into revelation knowledge. We're coming into a dream season. I believe some of you are going to get prophetic dreams in the night. I believe that there are things you've been asking God for, and He's going to give you a dream, sometimes an open vision or a dream. I know, you know, my son, when he launched into to you know, when he was in 10th grade, he had a dream of an algorithm that literally changed everything for him. It put him on the map, every high-tech firm in the world. And it was a dream. I can't dream of algorithms. Come on now. I didn't even know Al Gore had rhythm. So, I mean, come on. You know. And even if he had one, I don't know if it's right. Look at global warming right now. But oh, we won't go there. Come on, be nice. I'm trying to be. Sometimes I have to get beside myself, get rid of the, you know. But Psalm 126:1 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity ones of Zion, we're like those who dream again. Come on. We're like those who dream. Then your mouth was filled with laughter. You know, I found out most people don't have joy because they're not living in a dream. The moment you stop dreaming, you're miserable. You know, that's why God once said, in order to enter a kingdom life, you got to be like a little kid. Well, a little kid's always dreaming. Always dreaming. Come on now. Their imagination is pretty wild. And be honest with you, God literally wants godly imaginations in the church. Imagination's not bad. Ungodly ones are bad. But God literally wants to begin to show you stuff that's beyond what's here. It says that then your mouth is filled with laughter, your tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the heathen. I love it when the heathen says the Lord has done great things for you. You know? I love it when our gift makes room for us in the presence of great men. I love it when we begin to dream and the wealth of the wicked comes because of the dream you have. You know, recently my son had another door open for him and he laughed. He said, Daddy, I can see what they can't see, so they're going to have to pay me anything I want. You know, and you know, his voice has barely changed. He looks like a 12-year-old. Come on. But because of his gifting, he rules. Because of the grace. In your realm of grace, you reign. In your realm of grace, we all have different graces. In your realm of grace. That's what I found out is in order to be reign in this life, it's the gift of righteousness and it's by the grace of God. When you tap into your realm, it's your zone, baby. Every one of us has a zone. Some people have a zone in woodworking. Some people have a zone. I have a friend that has a zone in cooking. Oh, amazing. And she used to say, I don't have any talents. I laughed. I said, ma'am, you go, and she cooks pies for charity. Her pie, usually people bid $5,000 to $10,000 a pie. And the rest of the pies, even when people say, well, that's because people want to give to charity, the rest of the pies bring $100 each. You know, there's a big difference. Everybody gets there to get her pie. And the great news is I eat at her house for free. I've eaten a $5,000 pie just by myself. I'm blessed coming and going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes I'm a temple, sometimes I'm a cathedral. But they'll say the Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. He's going to restore our captivity in the streams of the south. We're going to sow, come on, in tears, but we're going to reap with joyful shouting. You know why you sow? Because you have a vision. If you don't sow because of a dream, the seed is wrong. You sow because you expect a harvest from what you sow. Come on now. No farmer plants seed and say, well, I don't care if it comes up. No. Come on. And you return with joyful shouting. You go to and fro, weeping, carrying the bag of seed. Then indeed you come back with shouts of joy. See, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. That's what John Quincy Adams said. You know, it says, Eleanor Roosevelt says that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. You know, blessed are those who dream dreams and are willing to pay the price to make them come to pass. I believe in this last days, God wants to awaken the dreamer on the inside of you. Because you are God's dream seed. He actually programmed you before the foundation of the world and puts a picture on the inside of you. Come on now. You've got to understand that every one of you were perfectly designed for purpose. And if once you enter into that grace, you can begin to bear much fruit. Come on. You know, it's amazing what will take place. And there's a lot more fun than that. Does this make sense? See, when you're going through tough, you know, when the going gets tough, those with a dream keep going. You know, I've learned that. I've learned until the time it comes to pass, the word of the Lord will test you. God, you know how God tests you? He gives you a vision or a dream and says, are you willing to hold on to it? You know, he's not the one bringing all the bad. But how many people understand Joseph had to pass the test? When Joseph had a dream, he was thrown into prison. You know, he was into servanthood. He was accused falsely. All sorts of things came to pass. You know, bad stuff happened to him, you know, in a dream. And in fact, honestly, God had to get him sold into slavery. Because he was in a family of dream killers. In order to protect the dream, he had to get him out of that environment. That's why I tell people, I said, don't ever go to a church that is not a dream center. Don't ever go to a place where honestly they kill dreamers. In fact, I'll help people, but the people I hang with are all dreamers. They're all visionaries. They're all pregnant with vision. In fact, when I get in the room with them, both our babies are jumping. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leaping on the inside. Hey! You know, you get around, and you know, they're not all pregnant with what I'm pregnant with. You know, some of them are pregnant with businesses. Some of them are pregnant in the entertainment field. But the main thing is they're going to make a difference because they're carrying something. Does this make sense? See, the hope and the dream, that's the anchor to your soul. Hope is an anchor to your soul. What is hope? It's something you see. It's something that you see that's not quite here yet. But it keeps you in place. See, if you're looking to the glory that's going to be revealed, you count everything as light affliction. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. You know, it's amazing how many people, you know, I heard John Hagee years ago say something, and I keep repeating it, and eventually people are going to think it's mine. But I loved what he said. He said, losers talk about what they're going through. Winners talk about what they're going to. He said, when you're going to something, what you're going through doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't. You know, I don't know how many times people try to tell me how bad my life is because they look at some circumstances. Come on now. And I, you know, until they tell me, It's like, don't do that. Just don't do that. It's like, I don't know. I don't know I'm supposed to be wounded and feel bad. And I didn't know that, you know, he has made me sad. He has made me sad. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that we're just supposed to whine in the church. That's why God gave us new wines to keep us from whining. Come on now. You know, I've never seen in scripture where there was a sad Holy Ghost. Come on. I will preach. See, the wonderful news is that you inherited a dreaming nature from the Creator. Because He created us in Genesis 1:27 in His own image. The original dreamer is God. You know, before He ever spoke this world into the existence, He dreamed of it. He didn't say light be. He said, whoa, I didn't know that's what it looked like. You know, go on now. You know, see, you don't get this. See, you know, your hearts can relate to you. God created you to be a dreamer so your heart can relate to His in order that His dreaming heart could find millions of expressions. Think about that. God put a dream in all of us. Think about when God changed this nation. He always raises up a dreamer, a visionary. Martin Luther King Jr., when he had a dream, thank God for the dream. You know, and be honest with you, he articulated what most of us knew. You know, but the moment he said it, I don't care where you're from, you know, if your heart was right, it rang true. Come on now. It just rang true. And now, you know, and he started talking about, you know, it's not the color of skin, it's content of the heart. When he started talking about, and when he was being, you know, it caused people to rise up. But he had to articulate it. Come on now. See, when I found out of something, when a dreamer starts talking, you begin to catch a dream. Come on now. You know, and you can fight according to that dream. That's why you need churches that have visionary pastors. You know, what I find out is he who sees leads. Only blind people will follow a blind leader. Come on. And they'll both end up in the ditch. Be honest with you, this nation in many ways is in a ditch because of lack of vision. And part of it's been from the pulpit, it's been in politics, it's been every area. God has to restore visionaries, dreamers, people who talk about a better day, people who are calling things that are not yet here as though they are, so things can change here. Come on now. People who have seen a better city whose maker is God. People who honestly have literally spent time in the heavenlies so that they can bring a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Come on now. Those are dreamers. You know, your pastor here is a dreamer. I know he is. You know, sometimes he dreams in words I don't understand, but he dreams. That's all right. My son dreams in words I have no idea. I just love to listen to him talk. I have no idea what he's saying. He takes me to conferences and he said, Daddy, don't open your mouth. They're going to think you're smart. Come on. See, your designer, your designer, God, dreamed dreams for you even before you were born. You know, he called you before you were in your mother's womb. You know, I mean, Jeremiah wasn't the only one called. He was called to be a prophet before he ever was conceived. I believe every one of us had some type of calling. It could have been business. It could be other, but it was just something we were gifted with that we're carrying. You know, there are some people that they are just too nice. They need to be greeters. There are people who are not too nice. They don't need to be greeters. Come on now. You know, don't put a prophet at the door. Don't put a prophet at the door. You know, with me, when the pastor wanted someone to leave the church, he would say, "Will you counsel them?" I said, "You want them gone, don't you?" He said, "All I care about is you either cast the devil out or cast them out." I said, "Will do, Pastor." Come on now. Hallelujah. See, God knit you together in your mother's womb. He designed you on purpose. He knew the days that you were ordained to live, and he made you perfect for the grace you were supposed to manifest. And to be honest with you, because it's grace, you cannot be impressed with yourself. Because you're kind of like the rod of, rod of Moses became the rod of God, but the bottom line, you're just a stick. You may be an anointed stick, but you're just a stick. Come on, it's God that makes you special. Come on, it's God. So you can't boast about anything. Whatever good you have, it's God. Whatever gift you have, you may have developed it, but still God. You know, you can't be impressed with people. Be impressed with giftings. Be impressed with what God did, but don't be impressed with flesh. Come on now. You know, I mean, I've been around great men, and they put on their pants just like mine, except they're a lot more expensive pants. Come on now. But see, God has plans for you. He said, "I know the plans I have for you." How many people are saying you were planned? You were planned. Your parents may have thought they made a mistake, but God didn't. Come on now. You know, he said, "I know the plans." And he said, I don't want you to seek the plan. I want you to seek me. That's the problem people have. They'll seek the plan. They'll seek the hand of God. They'll seek what they want instead of realizing it's all in him. Instead of seeking provision, seek the provider. Instead of just seeking healing, seek the healer. Because once you get to him, he's got it all. It's all in him. And guess what? He'll reveal himself to you, and that revelation will keep you free. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, literally, God wants you to fulfill your purpose in your generation. What's God saying? He said, "I want to awaken the dream. I want to." He said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." Young men are going to have vision. Old men are going to have dreams. Everyone's going to see something. Because why? You can only do what you see. You know, there are areas I'm totally blinded, and I don't even care. Yes, Lord. No. Somebody, Clarence just got his wings, baby. Been watching too many Christmas movies. Come on now. Sorry about that. That's the way my mind functions. But where were we? I'm sure we're on some type of what? Yeah, there are people that are, you know, there are areas of our lives. That's why we need one another's graces. We're not going to see it all. We're going to see our portion. Understand, you're not going to see it all. I mean, there are things that I don't have a clue in fixing things. That's why I have, and you know, anytime something breaks in the house, my wife, if she sees me reach for a tool, she dials 911. And she knows it's going to cost a lot more than I called someone out to begin with. Why? I have no gifting. None. I think I do. That's the stupid part. Stupid people don't know they're stupid. Come on. But I've learned after a while, you learn after a couple of trips to the emergency. You learn. But what I've learned also is there are people who can see what I can't see, but I can see some things they can't see. I was talking, one of my friends called me from Kentucky this week. He's actually moving back to St. Louis, but he was a youth pastor at one time at a large church in a small town. They had a 1,000-member church in a town of 200. I mean, and it was, you know, it was like the Rhema cover story of the greatest country church in America. And, you know, their Wednesday night service would have 990 people. Sunday morning would have 1,000. And it didn't make a difference who was preaching. You know, because I thought they all showed up to hear me, and I found out a couple stayed home, I guess. You know. I'll never forget walking in that place, and you know, I was shocked because I expected a little tiny country church. I did not know what I was getting into, and it was great. And I walked into the place, and the pastor told me later, he said, the reason I have you back every year, and he mentioned all the famous preachers who preach there because it's a well-known place. He said, the reason I had you back every year is not because we have people who preach the word just as good, if not better than you. I said, well, thank you, sir. I said, build me up. I want you to tell the truth, but not that much. Lie a little. Come on. You know, he said, the reason we have you is the first time we had you, you were walking down the aisle, and you sat on your seat, and there's three ladies in the front row on the other side, and you looked over at me, and you said, Pastor, those three ladies are going to try to split your church this week. And he said, they were elders' wives. He said, I had not a clue what was going on. And he said, at first, I thought you're crazy, but I wrote it down. I figured I better check into this. And he said, you were right. It saved my church. And he said, I could care less about how you preach. Okay, I said, well, I'm going to be really boring tonight. But the bottom line is, you know, when I started operating prophetically, I thought everyone could see things. I mean, what I would call out was so obvious, and everyone, oh, it's revelation. I thought, you got to be kidding. This is the most, and you know what the Lord said? It's because you can see in that realm. Come on now. This is your gift. It's like my son, he sees things that aren't, I mean, he brings things that no one's ever done. Because he said, Daddy, all I do is see what's already there. He said, you don't invent stuff. Everything's already here. But he said, I positioned myself to see, and in my realm, I can see. He said, I can't see in every other realm. But in my realm, I can see. If you believe, you'll see. Well, I found out, if you believe in the grace, come on. God will give more grace, more grace, more grace. He'll multiply grace towards you. Come on. Am I helping you? Because honestly, you begin to tap into this stuff. It is mighty. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, and he didn't do everything. Let me say something. He couldn't do everything. Ooh. Why? Because even though he was God, he operated as a man. He laid aside his divinity, is what Scripture says. He didn't operate on earth. Even though he was all God, he never sinned. Don't stone me. But he operated like you and I would so that we could do the works he does. Through the same Spirit. Come on now. Now, he had the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit with measure. But the bottom line is, in John 5:19, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I see. Be honest with you, the only things you really do is what you see. That count. God will open your eyes. Let me tell you, if God ever shows you good, you're supposed to participate in it. Another angel. We got wings coming, baby. But you know, God will show you good that you're supposed to be part of. He'll also show you evil that you're supposed to stand against. If God shows you anything, it's an assignment. If you don't see it, it wasn't your responsibility. Now, our responsibility is always to ask God to open our eyes and to be open. Well, I miss a lot. I can go into a whole airport. God will point out one person I'm supposed to minister to. There'll be thousands of people around me, but there's this one person. And he said, you know, and I used to, years ago, I would go try to reach everyone and nobody got reached. You know, and by that time I was too exhausted to minister to one person that really needed to be. Come on. But I've learned to be led by the Spirit of God. And when God shows me something, I know that's an assignment. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? You know, I believe God's going to make dreams come true. We've had the most miraculous December I've ever seen. Our church had 80,000 people at Christmas. 80,000. Think about that. That is freaky. In one service, we had 1,234 first decisions for Christ. And one of the things that we have banners all over the church that said, and the banners read this, an empty seat is unacceptable. And you know, something God gave them. Something took place. Our body's never been that way. It's been good, never been that way. Something shifted. Come on now. I believe a shift is coming. Why? They begin to see something. They begin to see the loss. Come on. And they begin to see that they, you know, how to bring people. Come on. And a lot of them, you know, it was just amazing. And we did have a special emphasis on evangelism. Bringing, because around Christmas Eve, we had 20,000 people at the Christmas Eve thing. Just by that, you know, just that one service. And, you know, it was amazing because, you know, we geared it. We said, hey, you're going to have a lot of unsaved relatives in town visiting. Get them there. Just get them here. Any way you can, get them here. If you get them here, they'll get in the kingdom. And we literally saw such a harvest. I believe what happens is your eyes get open all of a sudden. See, God wants to awaken the dreamer on the inside of you. Just like Abraham, he wants to take you outside your circumstances, like in Genesis 15, took him outside the camp, showed him the stars in the sky. Said, so shall your offspring be. Up until that time, he was barren in some areas. I found out we're barren because we're not seeing. Come on now. The moment we begin to see, we start bearing fruit. But we're barren in areas we can't see. So God has to take us out and give us revelation. And that revelation causes manifestation. If we'll believe it. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Does this make sense? Come on. See, he wants to awaken the seer. Even with Jeremiah chapter 1, he asked him, Jeremiah in verse 11, what do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, well, he mentioned what he saw, and I love what God said. He said, you've seen well. Therefore, I'm watching over the word that you've seen well. See, most of us quote Jeremiah 1:12, God's watching over his word to perform it. No, he's not. Sorry. He's watching over the word you've seen well to perform it. Why? Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. You can't see it, you can't receive it. You know, how many of you understand you couldn't receive Christ until the blinders were removed? You had to see the gospel before you ever heard it. I love the song at the cross where I first saw the light. Because I found that out. Many people probably witnessed to you, but one day you saw it. One day all of a sudden Jesus became real to you. One day it was like, whoa. It was no longer a religious thing. It was a relationship thing. Come on now. Does this make sense? And, you know, wherever we're stuck, it's because we're not seeing what we need to see to get unstuck. That's why we need to pray, open our eyes, God, that you may show us our inheritance, that you may show us what you've already graced us with. It's already ours. Come on. We don't have to earn it, but we do have to see it. Come on. See, literally, you know you're a dreamer when the dream or vision becomes your new reality. When you walk by faith and not by sight, where all of a sudden the circumstances around you is not your reality, your dream is your reality. I've had this happen many times in my life. I had as a little kid when I had a dream of playing professional baseball. A lot of kids dream of playing professional baseball, but the difference was it didn't leave me. The moment I had that dream, that's all I dreamed about. When I fell asleep at night, I dreamed playing ball. When I was awake, I was daydreaming in class about baseball. You know, I was always seeing myself in the major leagues, and for 13 years, I ran into that dream until one day I was facing Nolan Ryan. People asked, they said, well, what did it feel like to face Nolan Ryan? What does it feel like for him first a bat against a major league pitcher? It was in spring training, but still. I said, I felt like I've been there for the last 13 years. But as a little kid, that's where I saw myself. God shows you the end from the beginning. He'll show you where you're supposed to end up. Come on now. What happens when we lose that picture? We stop progressing. You progress according to a picture. If you lose the picture, you stop growing. Come on now. You know, the enemy's after your vision. He's after your hope. Why? Because a hope deferred makes the heart sick, and a sick heart doesn't dream anymore. Come on now. See, my greatest desire is that you connect with the dreaming heart of God. Things are supposed to be different in the planet Earth because you showed up. Come on now. Because they're good works for foreordained from the foundation of the world that you should walk therein. There's something in you we need. And it began with a dream. Dreaming ignites creativity. Someone had to see it so it could be seen. The impossible is powerless against the relentless energy and creative imagination flowing from a dreaming heart. Nothing's impossible to a dreamer because they dream the impossible dream. Come on. I know. I've heard your pastor. If you were just looking at natural, you'd think he Looney Tunes. But you get in that zone, you can see it too. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? See, there is something in you we need. We need to understand that dreams are pregnant with hope, persistence, integrity, inventiveness. If you dream, you will create. No one that's not a dreamer can be a creator. Dreaming and creativity go together. Come on now. You know, I've learned that. I've been around some of the great men, women of God, and some of the great business leaders. They're all dreamers. They all saw something that wasn't here yet. Come on. Our Maker wants us to dream, plan, and create. And you know, the Hebrew word for dream and create are the same. That's interesting. Hebrew word for dream and create are the same. God says if you want to create, you got to dream. Come on. The power to create begins with the ability to dream. God shows you the end and backs up and it starts creating it. Let's go to Isaiah 46. This okay? This is good stuff. Trust me. If you get a hold of this, you know, I mean, I have a church now that in Pennsylvania, one of the ones I oversee. Actually, we planted another church in 30 miles away. And in the first week, it became the largest charismatic church in that area of New York. First week. We sent 200 people over from the church, the mother church. And then, because we were trying to create some empty seats. We had too many services going. We said, hey, we got this problem. We sent 200 people over, and the pastor, he calls me up. He said, Woody, he said, the next Sunday, we had 200 visitors. He said, we've never You know what's Ignite this year's about a year or two ago, I started with the staff. I said, what do you see? Tell me what you see. Tell me your dreams. Come on, speak it out. And they began to speak dreams and things that they could see God doing, what they wanted to see done. And a lot of times the pastor had never even heard it from the staff. And and the pastor looked, he said, we can do that. We can do that one. We can do it. And all of a sudden it was what they were seeing. And they were excited because they could see it. They weren't excited with what they were doing in the church because they were doing stuff they couldn't see. But once they got into what they could see, they were excited about doing it. And we started thinking, and things started getting birthed. And that, right now, one Monday a month, there is a dream session at the church. And they're not, it's for anyone that's a dreamer, a visionary. They're businessmen from the community that come in, share their vision for the community and stuff. So many businesses have started. So much has changed in that area because people began to dream again, and God seemed to just jump all over it because he's just waiting for somebody with vision. Come on now. If you expect to see, you'll see. Most of us, we don't expect to see anything, so we don't see it. See, Isaiah 46:10 says, you declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, I'll accomplish all my good pleasure. See, what I found out is God always shows you the end and then backs it up. And he says, hold on to the end while you're at the beginning. Though your beginning is insignificant, your end will greatly increase. Necessity is not the mother of innovation or invention, but dreams are. Come on. God is the author and finisher of your dreams. But you got to understand something. The reason why God wants you to dream his dreams, honestly, he'll give you the dreams. Why? Because he wants you to be an outlet for his dreams on the earth. Very important. If God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it will take dreamers. You got to understand something. See, God wants to reconstruct the dreamer on the inside of you. America used to be great because there was an American dream. It's no longer great. Has the potential to be great. But because they've lost the ability to dream. Our young people, they don't see a bright future. And that's why they're undisciplined. Don't knock them. They're not terrible. They have so much potential, but if they can't see it, if they can't see that this... If they can't see themselves prospering, if they can't see that they're able to make a difference, they give up. I believe, one of the things of the church is we've got to awaken the dream on the inside of them, see people's talents and speak to them. Begin to identify the good on the inside of them and honestly, Get them connected to the ultimate dreamer, which is God. Because if they know God, they'll be strong. They'll do exploits. If they know God, they'll begin to share things with them. You're born to dream. In fact, the Bible says you must be born again to see the kingdom. What God says, he said the first thing, the number one calling of a Christian is to be a seer. You must be born again to see the kingdom. And see, when God says see the kingdom, what he's saying is see your part. See your assignment. See what you're graced to do. Come on. You don't get this. This is good stuff. See, we're made in God's image, therefore we dream. We dream, therefore we create. See, if you didn't dream, you wouldn't create, for creating is simply transferring from the realm of thought to the world of reality. Your destiny needs you to dream. Don't allow anything to steal your dream. Your destiny's at stake. Think about that. I love the bumper sticker. I think I mentioned it last time. I love it because, well, you know, how many people say that? Number one, non-dreamers go into survival mode. Only risk takers are change agents. But there's a bumper sticker I love. It says, if you ain't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. Some of you get that one. I read that thing. I just thought, oh, that's right, baby. That's right. We've been looking at the wrong. No, never mind. Miles Monroe, one of my good, good friends, he went home to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. But I went to school with him, and tremendous teaching on the kingdom of God. What a man. I mean, I'm grateful for the men of God. He made a statement. He said, the greatest tragedy is not death, but life that fails to fulfill its purpose. So I want you to begin to ask God to awaken the dreamer on the inside of you. Awaken the dreamer on the inside of you. Expect him to energize you with creativity and passion. There's no greater motivator to hard work than a dream. People with a dream are looking for new and better ways. You know, I love that. I love watching people in their zone because they create. My son's in a zone. He's in a dreaming zone. He's about ready to bring to the marketplace something that was a dream placed in his heart. He's going this summer to work with one of the largest medical operation there is for medical records to rewrite their program. He said, I walked in, they asked me, they were working on something for about a year. They were interviewed and brought him in and said, well, what do you think about this problem? He said, well, if you do this, this, and this, it'll be fixed. They looked at it and their eyes just opened up. He said, Daddy, when you see it, it's so simple to you. He said, part of the problem is you struggle until you can see. You struggle until you can see. You struggle. How many of you know there's unrest that comes when you're pressing in deeper? Come on. And some people quit in the process. Don't quit. Sometimes there's unrest because God's about ready to show you something. He's about ready to show you something. How many of you know sometimes you've done things the same way year after year after year and it was fine? And all of a sudden, it doesn't feel good anymore. All of a sudden, there's an unrest. There's an unrest because a change is coming and God wants to show you something. Many times what's happening is grace is lifting off of that area of your life. Come on now. And you know, and if you're not grace there, you know, you can't make it work. Come on. You really can't. You know, I was about ready. Yeah, I loaded up my CDs this time and I just have been grieving. You know, every time I brought CDs places, I couldn't figure it out. So I just left them home. I said, God, what is going on? I said, this has been going on for about a year and a half. And, you know, this is for me. It's not for everyone, please. But I on driving down here, the Lord said, I don't want you selling them. Just give them away. And I thought, what? He said, you can't stand selling them, can you? I said, no, I can't. He said, you used to enjoy it, didn't you? I said, yes. He said, there's a reason. He said, have you noticed that you can't sell hardly anything anymore anyway? But he said, you know, have you ever noticed that you're giving away thousands and thousands of CDs now every month? And he said, I'm prospering you. And he said, that gives you joy. The other frustrates you. And I said, you know, there's a shift. I finally realized, hey, I'm not going to live in that frustration. Well, everybody else does it this way, except for a couple of people I know, but everyone almost does it this way. Well, just because everyone does it that way doesn't mean you have the grace to do it that way. Come on now. Come on. And just because they don't do it your way doesn't make them wrong. Come on. you know? But when you tap into your grace, hey, something begins to take place. See, how many people are saying the caterpillar has a dream of becoming a butterfly? Come on. And at the right time, the potential is fulfilled. That's the way with all of us. God, we look like a caterpillar. God shows us a butterfly. Come on now. He calls us rich and we don't have two pennies to our name. Come on. He calls us prosperous. He said, hey, you're going to take over the city and you barely have enough people. Well, you know how it is. But if you believe what God says, there comes a day. There comes a day because he's watching over the word that you've seen. Something about ready to transpire in this area. Come on now. When I'm sensing this shift, you know, we're seeing it now in Tulsa. I'm seeing it in some of the churches now. I honestly believe there's a Holy Ghost unrest in people where they're going, where they're not being fed, where they're not seeing anything anymore. And the superficial that's taking the place of the supernatural. Is no longer acceptable with these people. They only understand what's happening. It's happening because of intercession. It's happening because, and you're going to see more and more people just say, hey, I want the real deal. Come on now. You know, I want the real deal. You're going to see people that they don't want to do everything they want to do. Because they've tried living their own life and it's been destructive. They want God's ways. Come on. Keep God in the mix, but plan. Well, I found out, you know, just if you're stuck, write a plan down. There are times I said, God, I'm doing this by faith. I know what the end's supposed to look like. I don't know any of the steps in between, but I'm going to plan some. I've written stuff down. I've heard God laugh. But at least he started talking to me. Yeah, I went for furious work. I wasn't hearing anything. But as soon as I wrote down my plans, I'd hear a chuckle or something. I said, hey, got your attention, God. Do you know, and I'm going to pray for you in a second, but do you know, some of you need a lot of it. But do you know, my wife wrote for Oral Roberts for years. You know, and one of the funniest things she showed me, she came home and she actually made copies of it. Oral Roberts' first drawings of ORU. God told him to build a university. So using his lightning quick mind, which I was grateful to see he had one like mine. Come on. His original plan for ORU was 5 log cabins. That was going to be the university. And he went to prayer. He presented before the Lord. The Lord said, I've got to make a little revision. And God gave him a plan that had to be God, because if you've ever been to Oral Roberts University, I mean, even today, it's the most unique place in the face of the earth. But back in those days, come on, it looked like Jetson U. I mean, with all the shiny gold buildings and the reflections and the prayer tower and the, you know, it just, you know, what God showed him was out of the space age. Here comes Oral. Anyway. That's sad. That's why I don't sing. Hey! But see, God wants you, God doesn't want you to dream apart from him. He wants to give you the dream and work with you on it. He said, hey, you're my branch office of heaven on earth. So I'm going to download into you so you can download on this earth. And he said, all your prosperity is tied to your downloads, by the way. Think about that. Everything starts with revelation. When God wants to change the earth, he drops ideas into people's minds and their hearts. Opens their eyes to things that no one's seen before. They've been there, but no one's seen them before. Is that okay? See, dreaming requires leaving the known and going into the unknown. I love what, you know, again, it's funny. I've trained my son. Now he's training me. I have to admit it. Because everything he says is what I've taught him. I just never seen anyone apply it like that. Including me. But he's, you know, one of the things that he said, Daddy, because they would ask him before when he was going to college, they said, what is the best words to describe you? If you had to describe yourself, what two words would describe you? And he looked and he said, that's easy. He said, it's the words, what if? He said, I'm asking it constantly. If this is true, what if? If this is true, what if? If this is true, he said, Daddy, at that constant, it's constant with me. I'll go into places and see where they are and say, what if they did this? What if they did that? What if that? I mean, that's where his realm is. It's like, this is what exists now, but what if? What if? What? That's what faith is, by the way. Because faith is bringing the unknown into the known. Come on now. It's known by God, but you know, he wants his people to say, what if? What if? What if? Come on. You know, what? Take the lid off. What if? Say, you've seen nothing yet. What if? What if? What if? You know, and you can fill it in for church life, for your personal life. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. What if is, you ask that because God says, I want to show you more. Call on to me. And I'll show you. Not just tell you. I'll show you great and mighty things you know not. I'll show you that. This place is supposed to be a creative bastion. Come on. All of a sudden, your knower goes off. You may struggle for a while with something because you're wrestling with it until it becomes clear. So, am I helping someone? You can wrestle. I've watched my son do it in his realm. I've watched myself do it in my realm. I'll wrestle with something I think we're supposed to do. And in wrestling with it, I discover another outlet. So really, it was almost like God was bringing me to that place where I thought I was wrestling for one thing. But because I was grabbing hold of him, he was able to show me something totally different. My son, a lot of times, he'll try something that fails in one realm, but it opens up a whole different realm. He said, well, that doesn't work over there. And he said, Daddy, it's just like the light comes on, I just slap my hands. That doesn't work over there, but it will work over here. Come on. So discovery. See, what I found out is the moment you get born again, you enter into the realm of discovery. God's always revealing. You're always discovering. Mysteries are being revealed. Come on. God, what's God doing? He's revealing his dream to his dream team so that we can help birth it on earth. He's impregnating us with unseen so they can become seen. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall asleep, God give you a dream. It will fulfill the word tonight. Hey! I need to ask a question. What if? No. Is there anyone here? This part is serious because honestly, if you don't know God as your Father, it's really hard to dream with Him. It's hard to tap into revelation knowledge when you know you don't know God. But when you know God, He can begin to reveal to you. Especially when you become His friend, He can reveal secrets. Is there anyone here today, if you die today, you're not sure you're making it to heaven, maybe never made Jesus Lord of your life, if that's you, raise your hand to anybody. You all know you're saved? Nod at me if you know you're saved. If you're awake, nod at me too. But how many of you tonight would say, you're talking to me tonight? I want this year to be a dream season again. I want to get my dreaming ability back. So, you know, some of you, honestly, you're going through some hope deferred, and that's almost caused you to stop dreaming. And God wants to restore the dreamer on the inside of you. Some of you, you're stuck at a point, and God just wants to reveal stuff to get you unstuck and get you excited again. You know, when I see things, I get so excited. There are times all I can do is walk in what He showed me in the past. And after a while, I can tell when I'm getting the last chapter of that revelation, because it's like, this is no longer that exciting to me, but I'm going to pretend it is until I get the next one. You know, but all of a sudden, when the next thing is revealed, watch out. How many of you tonight say, I want that prayer for revelation. I want that prayer for revelation knowledge. Now, if you need healing your body, I won't pray for that. If some of you are carrying inventions, I'm going to pray for doors that have been shut to be opened. Come on now. Because you're carrying with the inventions. They're there, baby. Some of you, you're going to tap into your creative self. Because you're going to tap into God first, and that creativity is going to flow. Come on. You know, this place, you guys are amazing with what you've been programmed with. If we ever tapped into the program fully, Jesus would probably be back by now. So if you want prayer, come on up. I want to pray for you right now. Is this okay?